Okay, so last time we saw that there's a machlokas between the Rambam and the Rashba. What's the din if she didn't do a bedikah on her vases? According to the Rambam, since we passed kvestos lav d'oraisa, then there's no point in doing a bedikah further. And this was the first opinion in the Shulchan Aruch. And the Rashba says no, that she would need to do bedikah afterwards. She would be asur until she did a bedikah, and that's a psak of the Rama over here, as well as the Shulchan Aruch and the Kuf Pei Tes. So the question now is, that's the bedieved d'kashayla. But what about l'chatchila? Specifically, how many bedikos should a woman do l'chatchila on her vessels? Now, what type of vessel are we talking about? So we also discussed this already. We saw that according to the Beis Yosef, vessel in a kavod doesn't even need a bedikah l'chatchila at all. And everybody would agree that after the vessels has passed, she doesn't need a bedikah. The Chumah, the Rashba, was only said for a vessels kavua. And others say no, even in a vessel she'enu kavua l'chatchila, you should do a bedikah. But our question then is going to be for vessel she'enu kavua, according to the Machmirim, like the Badir Shulchan, the question of how many bedikos would not be relevant if you pass like the Beis Yosef, as Rabbi Willig did, but it would still be relevant for either Vesas Kavua or more commonly, Ona Beinonis. Ona Beinonis we treat like a Vesas Kavua for these dinim, that she is Asur until she does a bedikah. And therefore, our question that we need to discuss now is, so how many bedikos should you do L'chatchila? So the Chavos Das, which is quoted in Pesachei Tshuva, Sifkatan Yud Zayin, the Chavos Das is Sifkatan Tes, says, you know what? You should have to basically have a moch the entire period of the vesas. And he says, if you have an extended vesas, the Yom Nevuchim, where basically if you learn like the Node Behuda, that we treat that as a vesas for like 3 days or so, so then she would need a moch for all 3 days. And the logic of the Chavos Das is pretty intuitive. I mean, if the idea is that we're choshesh that she saw dam, or she might see dam, and that's the purpose of the bedikah, to capture that dam. So if we do a bedikah at some random time, mechatesi is going to work. After all, let's say the whole day is her vesas. So anytime from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., we expect her to see. So if she does a bedikah at 10 a.m. or 4 p.m., mechatesi, why should that help? So therefore, l'chatchila, she should have a moch in the entire time of the suspected vesas. So let's say the entire ona. That is the view of the Chavos Das, and the truth is, it makes a lot of sense. But the Rishonim seem to only talk about doing one bedikah. So why is that? How do we explain that? So the answer is that the Rishonim says the Chavos Das is talking about a situation of a pinpoint vesas. And that might be this typical scenario of the Gemara, as we've seen already. If it's a pinpoint vasas, so fine, then you don't need a moch, the whole ona. But if not, you would. And therefore, the Chavos Das says, well, since nowadays the women don't have a pinpoint vasas anymore, as the Shach already pointed out in the Nekudas HaKesef, so the Mela, practically speaking, they'll need a moch the whole day, at the very least. And he says that you should teach your wife to make sure to observe this. It's very important. There are rumors as to if that, I guess, I think it's about him, that his wife wasn't willing to do this. It was too much. And that was what led to the end of their marriage, this chumrah. Anyway, I don't know if there's basis to that. That's what they say. So okay. But on the other hand, l'chayra, it's very shocking that if this is true, none of the Rishonim would have said it. Right? Nobody, as far as I know, said it before the Chavos Das. And that's, again, even though he tries to deflect that by saying, well, because they were dealing with the pinpoint vases, but still, it's a little shocking. So do we have any sources, though? Is there anybody that says anything? Again, Beis Yosef doesn't say. I would think that for the Beis Yosef, certainly the stima is you need to do one bedikah. Because he says you have to do a bedikah on the vases. So you have to do a bedikah. That means one bedikah, not a moch, not 10, not 5, not 2, 1. However, there is a Tosefta, Perek Tes, Halacha Beis, that sounds like you need 2. What does the Tosefta say? the Tosefta says, "Kfar haisa limuda lios roa miyom asrim liyom asrim, mishe shaus l'she shaus, higia yom asrim v'lo rasa, asr l'shamish kol yom degre b'yuda. V'yos yom matir ad she shaus." Right, so we already know this machlokas. According to Yehuda, we paskin like that, the whole ona in which the vessels occurs is asr. Avra she shaus v'lo rasa, asr l'shamish kol yom. Fine. So seemingly, it's explicitly against the Chalasas. It says we don't require Shte Yada Be'ina Kol Hayom. Yada Be'ina would presumably mean the equivalent, at least, of a moch. But on the other hand, the Tosefta does say she needs two. So it sounds like from the Tosefta, against the Chavos Das for sure, the Chavos Das again is going to be mukim. The Tosefta is talking about a pinpoint vessus. But even that's a difficult point. It's not a bad ukimta, because the Adraba, it's clear the Tosefta is talking about a woman, it's a pinpoint vessus. That's why Rabbi Yossi is matir and only Aser is the actual pinpoint vessus. So that isn't bad. But the point is that the Tosefta says we're makel on something, right? Ein mechayven osash teyad bena. Now, what are we makel on, according to him? So he would say, no. You would have thought that even according to Yehuda, despite having a pinpoint vasis, she has to have a moch the whole time. Kamash malon, she doesn't, since she has a pinpoint vasis, and therefore she get away with bedikas pamayim. But it's still difficult because L'chorah, if you held like the Chavos Das, during her pinpoint vessus at the very least, she would need a moch, right? I suppose Chavos Das would say that the Tosefta is talking about like a super pinpoint vessus, not like a half hour, down to the second. So then even he would agree you don't need a moch, just do bdika at that time. Al kol panim, so even if we'll say, though, that the Tosefta is the pashtus of raya against the Chavos Das, it also is a raya against what we said was a simple reading of the Beis Yosef, which is that one bedika is enough, because after all, the Tosefta says she needs to do two bedikos. However, the Gra changes the gears in the Tosefta, and he says, no, it means the correct gears is vein l'chayven osash teyada v'ena kol yom, ela bodeka samach l'vesta. Sounds like only one bedika is needed. And the Chazon Ish says, even if you don't change the girsa, that's what would come out. You only need two bedikos, lamanda amar vestos de oraisa. But according to the way we paskin, then you would only need one bedika. So, therefore it comes out that l'chaora, even after the Tosefta, whether you say it like the Chazon Ish or you say it like the Gra, we could justify what we said is the simple reading of the Beis Yosef, that a simple bedika is enough. Now, part of the problem is, but isn't the logic of the Chavos Das very compelling? After all, if we're choshesh that it could come at any time during the day, so why would one bedika be sufficient? And that is why a number of poskim try to say, well, maybe even if we don't require fully what the Chavos Das demands, we try to accomplish something along similar lines. So the Aruch HaShulchan is more nota towards the Chavos Das. We would not recommend this even as a chumrah because it causes irritation. To keep a bedika cloth in your oso makom for 12 hours, you're likely to end up with a makom. Very bad idea. So Rav Moshe writes, this is Yardechel Gimel Simen Memches, that, well, maybe we can accomplish something very similar to the Chavos Das without actually using a moch. What does he write? He writes, V'meshech onas avases shela, tivdok atzma kama pe'amim. So though we're not going to say a moch the whole time, but, you know, do a bunch of bedikos. How many doesn't say? But the point is, so that way, if there is dam, we'll miss it. The Eitz Atova Shetilbash Beged Lavan Hasamuch Behiduk Yafa Legufa Kol Osa Ona the Kodem Hashena Filu Imhu achar hayom tivdok b'chon v'stakin. In other words, underwear, close-fitting underwear, and especially white underwear, so you'll be able to see if there was anything. That's sort of like the moch of the chavustas. Now, it's not officially a moch. We talked about that before. In a case where you really need a moch, we wouldn't let you get away with underwear. But it's pretty good, pretty similar, because, you know, very likely, it's very unlikely for it to have seen some dam and it gotten past the underwear. So if there was something, we would find it. In other words, here we have Rav Moshe saying that even if we don't go as far as the Chavos Das, we're going to try to accomplish something along similar lines. Rav Avadia writes, this is in Tars HaBayis, Chelek Aleph, page Kof Lamed Beis, that l'chatchila, a woman shouldn't take a bath during her vases or go swimming. Why? Similar point. Because while she's taking a bath, if some blood actually left, she would miss it. So while he doesn't go as far as Rav Moshe, even Rav Moshe, I should point out, says Eitz HaTofa, he doesn't say this is something that you have to do. Even if we're not going to go as far as saying that she has to wear underwear, and we'll see, he doesn't require actually kama bedikos. He recommends two bedikos. We'll get there in a moment. But still, we don't want to put her in a situation where, should there have been blood, then it would be missed. It's interesting because he doesn't seem to be makbid about a shower, right? If you're makbid about a bath, most women don't take baths. But a shower would be an issue. You know, most people do take a shower during their onus of asas or half the time. So I assume because we would assume that if there was dam in a shower, you would notice it. It would drip out, as opposed to in a bath where it would like immediately disappear into the water. And you would never notice it in a shower. She's not submerged in water, and therefore that concern doesn't exist. Now, the whole chash, you could argue, is still a very big chumrah, because mechates, even b'shas vesta, were choshashes that dilma argusha v'lava daita. In other words, maybe we'll say no, that we don't have to worry about, we never worry about argusha v'lava daita, not like Rashi, maybe, and therefore, even if she's in a bath, if there was something, she would notice it. And if not, mechatesi to be choshesh. But still, you could ask the question, but why should a random medika help? In other words, does that really change the equation? And especially if the random medika is done in the middle of her vases, or at least not at the very last moment of her vases, because maybe she did the bedika in the middle of her vases and Adam came afterwards. Like, why would that even be a recommendation? So here's where the Chazon Ish says that idea, which we quoted before. We saw that the Chazon Ish perhaps is not somech on this entirely, but partially, which is that if the period's going to come now, then the bedika would somehow trigger the dam to come now. Again, we noted that if you said that the bedika mamish gets up to the cervix, so then it's like it's a little easier to hear. Like if there's something going to come, it's sort of like you have a drip, right? It's not going to drip, but if you touch it, you'll get wet. So it almost sounds a little bit like the Chazon Ish is saying something along those lines. The problem is, so even if it's not, you know, not going to come for an hour or so, but still, if you touch it, it'll come. The problem with that is, as we noted, that Lamaisa women don't do bedikos that deep. And therefore, it's not, even if that svar was correct, not so pasha to apply to our bedikos. I'll call panim. The minig is not, I think, like Rav Moshe, she doesn't have to wear levanim. And she should do bedikos. But now the question is, how many bedikos? And the answer is that, again, the bedikos, even though it's not foolproof, it's not guaranteed, but it is a further bearer. And therefore, it's something that she should do. And to some degree, she must do, as the Rashba said, though not necessarily on Neveses. And we'll go back to that point in a minute. So how many Lamaisa? So the Badi HaShulchan, again, Ar Simon, Sifkatan and Dalad, says she should do two Bedikos for that Ona, one at the beginning and one at the end. And then preferably, she should do one afterwards. Why afterwards? Why third? To chop that last section. In other words, if she does the one at the end, I don't know, an hour before Shkia, so she should do one to chop that last hour after the Bedika. Why two? Based off the Tosefta. The Tosefta says two. So one at the beginning, one at the end. Again, that's the L'chatchila. But you have it, you don't need to. Because we pass Genvestos La D'Oreisa. As long as she did one, even if it was afterwards, it would work. Now, L'chatchila, we'd follow what the Tosefta says, too. What about in an Onabenunis? So Onabenunis, now that we're going to talk about the details of this, I think, at the beginning of Simen Kuf Peites, but the Badei HaShulchan assumes that your Onabenunis should be the full 24 hours. And therefore, he says you should do one. That's based off of the placey. Again, we'll get there later. Do one at the beginning of the night. That's when it starts. In the morning, that's the second one. Third one would be towards evening, meaning towards the end of the Vases. And number four is, like we said, L'chatchila, at least after the Vases has passed, to get that last section. So for Onabenunis L'chatchila, you're doing four. Because since it's a 24-hour Vases, so you want to do four, as opposed to regular Vases, which is a 12-hour Vases, at least Medina, then basically you only need three. But again, for the Lashon of Shulchan Aruch, it really doesn't sound that way. Tosefta notwithstanding, it sounds like you only need one. If the Shulchan Aruch thought you needed two, you'd expect him to say two. He doesn't. And that's the steam of the Rishonim, as we saw. What about the Tosefta? Maybe you don't paskin like the Tosefta. Maybe the Tosefta is a Tosofer. Maybe it's like the Mandam of Vestos Deoraisa. Rabbi Willig has a discussion of this question. He has a whole chapter or subchapter on Vestos. It was originally published in the Kol Tzvi, and it's reprinted in the Mordechai and Arba Chalkei Shulchan Aruch. There's a chapter, it's Simen Chaf Dalet on Vestos, where he talks about a lot of various issues. He tries to argue, Bekitzer, it's Kedarko Bakodesh, a little more complex, and he's Medayik in the Rishonim, but more or less he points out that it sounds like, according to the Rashba, remember we talked about a machlokas, whether if you hold Vestos Lav D'Oraisa, is there an Isser for the Bedika created by the lack of Bedika? She didn't do a Bedika during the Vestos, does she become a Sura after the Bedika has passed? So we saw as a machlokas Rishonim. So we, like we said, are machmer for the Rashba. So he said, from the Rashba, you get the impression that it's not the pshat that l'chatchila she should do a bedika during her vases, and if she doesn't, then bediavet, she's a surah until you do one after the vases. No, the pshat in the Rashba is that she's a surah until she does a bedika. You don't need it to be l'chatchila during the vases. The lashon of the Rashba in Chidushim, it's a little more clear in Chidushim than in Tarsa Bias. This is a Tazayin Amud Aleph, is Rabbi Yeshua Omer Tivdok, Kolomar, the AFLP divestus to Rabbanon, Mikol Makom, Harei Timea Ad Shetivdok, the Timtza Tahor. Meaning to say, the question is, what does Tivdok mean? One possibility, this is, let's say, what the Ran says, is Tivdok means L'chatchila, she should be Bodekas during the Bedika. But the way the Rashba understood Tivdok is, it means that she's Chayaves in a Bedika, she's a Surah until she does a Bedika. As opposed to saying, L'chatchila, she should do a bedika, right? There's really two ways to read Tivdok. And it's hard to say it means both. That Tivdok means, L'chatchila, she should do a bedika during the Vases. And Tivdok also means, she's a surah, v'tashmish, until she did a bedika. So if we're going to be machmir for the Rashba, that she's going to be a surah and tashmish until she does a bedika, then you don't even necessarily even need a L'chatchila bedika during the bedika. During the Vases. And maybe Adrava, maybe it would be better to just wait till the Vases passes and then do a Bedika if we follow the Rashba. Unless you're going to say that L'chatchila, we're machmir for both Shitos. We're machmir for the Ran, we're machmir for the Rashba. But that's not strongly indicated. So maybe we really paskin like the Rashba. And if really all you need to do is do a Bedika once the Vases has passed, and one is enough. Now, that's what leads Rabbi Willig to a shita, which we'll better appreciate when we do Kuf Pei Tes. But there's a debate when the Ona Benunis is. As I said, this is for certainly for Rabbi Willig, this is most relevant for Ona Benunis. Women don't have vestas kavuas anyway these days, typically. And for, again, according to Rabbi Willig, for vestas kavuas, you don't need to do a bedik at all. So when is this most relevant for Ona Benunis? So for those who are machmir for Ona Benunis for day 30 and 31, or is there machmir for the chavostas? And again, we'll see why that might be when we get there. Again, this really comes up in Kuf Pei Tes, so we'll do it then. But if you're going to be machmir for that view, you don't have to be machmir for that view, make a redden. Really, you could follow just day 30. But if you're going to be machmir for day 30 and 31, so you could just do bedik on day 31, and that will cover day 30. Because, like we said, really, according to the Rashba, once the vestas has passed, and that's good enough. Of course, you could do many more. But as we've seen already, Rabbi Willig is reluctant to recommend doing more bedikos than necessary, especially when there's a concern that it might lead to irritation. So therefore, the conservative option would be to just do a bedik on day 31, and l'shitaso, because yes, it's true. If you really, really thought that l'chatchila, you should be doing the bedik on day 30, because in other words, it's really a din l'chatchila to do bedika on the yom ha-vesis. And moreover, you think mekar adin, the vesis is day 30, so then this wouldn't be proper advice. But if you really think, no, that we paskin like the Rashba, and the Rashba really holds that the ikar chiyuv is that she's a sur b'tashmash until she does a bedika, so this is a good compromise, we'll put it that way, or a good compromise to wait till day 31 to do the bedika again, assuming you're following the chavos das and therefore keeping day 31 as ves kavu as well as the ikar adin, which is at day 30. Okay, now another point that the chavos das brings up over here is other poskim, as I say, I mean, you know, some go as far as the Badei Shulchan, many others say, well, you don't have to do three or four, but at least you should do two l'chatchila. If you're going to be doing one, it makes more sense to do it probably at the end of the day or towards the end of the day, as we discussed earlier. Okay. Fine. What about if a woman checked, she did a bedika during her vesis, as she should, and then she lost the bedika cloth? Obviously, there was some type of suffix. Either she didn't look at it at all. That's not the typical case. But what is not uncommon is, as we discussed when we did Shem and the Kiyam, is a woman does bedika. She's not so sure about it. And then she puts it aside. And I don't know, then the cleaning lady comes and sees this dirty tissue and throws it out or something like that. Aye, aye, aye. Now, in a sense, this should be more kal than we talked about it when we did Shem and the Kiyam. Certainly Hefsik Tara, as we said, there's certainly a Cheskas Tuma. Even during Shiva Nikiyam, we talked about the Machlokas Rashba Ramban, is there a Cheskas Tuma or not? But there's a good sat to say, yes, there is a Cheskas Tuma for Shiva Nikiyam, and she's really unsure. But over here, the Adurabba, she has a Cheskas Tara. And if you assume Vestos, Lav Deoraisa, L'chora, the Cheskas Tara remains the bedika, the vesis notwithstanding. In other words, the vesis is not oker her vesa, her cheskas tara. So maybe it should be mutter. Says the chavos das, no, you have to be machmir. This is chavos das yud aleph, it's quoted in Pesach Tshuva, sif katan yud ches over here. He says you have to be machmir. Why? Because the only reason why we're makel, if she didn't do a bedika, bedieved, if you all vesis lav deraisa, that's because she didn't have any argasha. So she didn't have any argasha. So therefore, we'll assume she's okay. And I'd say it's a best kavua. We'll let her get away with the bedika afterwards. Okay, Chavos Das thinks she should need a bedika the whole time. But yeah, but she did one bedika afterwards. That's good enough. Why? Because she went the whole time without argasha. But if she did a bedika, well, as we saw from Kuf Tzadi, the mainstream view is that a bedika is a safek hargasha. That's why we're machmir for a bedika for a kolshu. Okay, as we talked about then, Rabbi Willig thinks that might not be true anymore. But at least in the Chavos Das and most poskim are assuming that every bedika does create a safek argasha, because mehichatesi, because the hargasha of the bedika could have masked the hargasha's damnida, and therefore says the Chavos Das, after machmir, so if she loses the bedika cloth, she would be asura. Because again, the only reason why Bestos Lach del Raisa, the only reason why we assume Orach Bismanu Loba is because she had no Argasha. And then Chavos Das takes it one step further, says, you know what? Well, according to his Shita, as we discussed in Kufzadi and Kufzadi Aleph, even Meraglayim is a Safik Argasha, because Meraglayim could also mask a Argasha. And therefore, anytime a woman urinates over the course of her Vases, that's going to create a Safik Argasha and she's going to be a Surah. Now, that already is taking it too far for almost everybody. Because if it turned, you know, Meraglayim urinating is like a pretty normal thing to do over the course of 12 hours. And like somebody before the Chavos Das should have made this point that, you know, if she doesn't check her urine and she urinated over the course of her Onah, that she becomes a Surah. So, so therefore, most posts can reject. The Avnei Nezer, Simon Reish Lamed, takes this Chavos Das to task, certainly regarding Meraglayim, but even be regarding the Bedika. And they say no, that since she has a Cheskas Tahara, the possibility of a Hargasha during the Bedika is not enough to make her asura if she doesn't find out. And therefore she should do another bedika. And if that's good, so many poskim say she is mutares. This is the psak of the Taras Abayis as well. Chelek Aleph, it's on page Kuf Chaf Tes. Kedarko Bakodesh, she says it al Tzveik Sveika.
Isn't all this though when she didn't look at the bedika?
If she don't, oh, good, excellent. So if she didn't look at a bedika, for sure, the poskim are meiko. Now, what about if she did and it was a suffix? So that is more of a suffix. Ravadi is still makel, I think, because of his fake sveika. But that is more of a suffix. And here again, we have to go back to an issue that we discussed last time about this, which is obviously the more typical case. Like usually, she'll look at it before it's lost, right? So here, even the Mekilim might be Machmir because there's an actual Safek. So could we say Sveik Sveika? So here, as we talked about, lost Bedika cloths during Shiva Nekiyim, you might have to distinguish between what type of Safek she really has. Is it a situation where she really, really thinks it's good, but she's just checking, wants to ask a rabbi or her husband or whatever it is to double check, which is a very common situation. I get a lot of bedika shailas and, I say, is there anything like bothering you about this? And they say, no, just wanted to double check or the like, versus a situation where it was mamish safek. If it was mamish safek, so then it's a little more tricky, but still, some poskim are makel because they say, yes, it's a suffix, but she has a cheskas tahara and she produced a bedika that was vade good.
Or why does the bedika, which is later vade good, help the suffix on the previous bedika?
It's not definitive, but since that was a suffix with the cheskas tahara, so it's going to really depend on, I guess, how do you look at the level of her cheskas tahara, right? If you think that she has a full-fledged cheskas tahara, even during her vases, then she's going to be fine. But if you say not that way, so then it's less pashut to be makel. Like you said. Now, even if we're not going to go as far as the Chavos Das and say she's a Surah, even if she didn't check, but if she did check and it was a Safek, since there's latest a Safek, we would have to be Machmir. So this is a Machlokas HaPoskim. I'm not sure what we would say halach lemaisa about that. So I'll try to get back to it. I forgot to think about that. Okay, turning to Sif Yud. So here we have Gemara and Yevamos, Samach Beis Mebeis, Chayv Adam Lifko Des Ishto, B'shashi Yotzei L'Darech, Shenema Ufakadata Navechav Lo Sechata. And the Gemara says the Chiddush here is, even if it's Samach LeVesta. So we already mentioned that there's a debate how to read this Gemara. According to some Rishonim, since Vestos are derabanan, so B'makom Mitzvah Lo Gazer, and that's the view of the Ravid, for example. It seems like he's saying that we're talking about a mitzvah d'oraisa, right? Since having tashmish mitzvah with your wife is a mitzvah d'oraisa, then it overrides the iser d'rabanan of Krisha. What is the iser mitzvah d'oraisa? Mitzvah's ona. And we'll talk about this in a couple of minutes, but this idea actually gives us some very important insight into what the nature of mitzvah's ona actually is, which we'll get back to in a moment. The Ritva goes even further. The Ritva says, even if you hold Prishas D'oraisa, as we know that is the Ritva Shita, still it's going to be mutter. Why? The Torah is maftiach. That's what the Pasuk teaches us. Fakadita, navecha, v'loy sechata, that the Pasuk is maftiach, that she won't see dam. Now, the Rambam does not paskin this din, nor does the Ramban. And Beis Yosef is very surprised. Why not? Maybe for the Ramban, you could say, well, you know, Ramban wrote a sefer on Hilchos Nida. He didn't write a sefer on all halacha. So you could say, this really isn't a din in Nida. This is a din in, I don't know, Hilchos Ona or something like that. So maybe we could be, you know, you could argue that, explain that's why it was omitted. But for the Rambam, it's particularly fair. For example, you know, if you learn like Rabbeinu Tam, as we mentioned, that it doesn't mean tashmish, it means divrei ritzui. So then we could say, okay, so really there's no chiddush in Hilchos Nida. The whole chiddush is that this is something that you should do. And, you know, where does that belong? Hilchos Derech Eretz, Hilchos Ona. Doesn't belong in Hilchos Nida, so the omission is less glaring. In the Rambam, the Beis Yosef sounds like it's a little more difficult because, you know, the Rambam wrote everything, wrote on everything, so it should be somewhere. I don't know. If it's not going to be in Hilchos Nida, put it in Hilchos Deos or somewhere. Doesn't it belong somewhere? So we'll try to answer that question in a moment. Al Kopanim, there are really three interpretations of what the Gemara means. So the first is that it means tashmish, as we mentioned, is a view of the Ravid, the Ritva, is a view of Rashi. When I say Ritva, I mean his maskana. We'll see, he does quote other opinions. And as I said, the way the Ravid explains it is because it's Vestas and Rabbanan. The Ritva is Shuos Yud Chasim Abeis. He says, Shakasav Mavticho Shelo Yavo Bekach Lidei Chet Shetira B'Shas Tashmish. Okay, we have a Masorah. I mean, the Pasuk isn't so clear. It's Chiddush to be Mati or what would otherwise be an Issa D'Oraisa, but we have a Masorah that's true. It's sort of interesting. We do learn a lot of things from that Pasuk. There are many drashas from Ufakadita, but this is one of them. Chassam Sofer, quoted by the Pesachei Tshuva, says no. That if you hold Vestos are D'Oraisa, at least Precious D'Oraisa, even if you don't hold Vestos D'Oraisa, if you think Precious are D'Oraisa, there's no way that you could read that it's Mutter to have Tashmish. And therefore, he sort of says like the Ravid, you know, the reason why Rashi would say it's Tashmish is because Rashi thinks Precious isn't D'Oraisa. And therefore, if you remember, the Chassam Sofer is of the view that Prisha is Medil Raisa, so Meila, he's going to paskin against the Ravid, against the Psak L'Shulchan Aruch, and you couldn't learn like Rashi, you have to learn like Rabbeinu Tam, since we are Choshesh, that Prisha is a Din Del Raisa. The Nitziv, in his Pirsan Hashiltos, writes that maybe you could be Mekel for Tashmish, even if you hold Prisha's Del Raisa, Samach L'Vesta, because it's an Aseh Docha Los Aseh. Asay is ona. The lo sase is hard to misbnei shalom tumasam. And even though be'etzem, you know, onasa lo yigra, so the asay is actually a lo sase. Ona is not a asay, it's a lo sase. So it's a lo sase and a lo sase. And if anything, fakert, actually, because v'hizartem, which is a source for the prisha, is an asay. And the chiyuv of ona is a lo sase, right? Onasa lo lit, lo sigra. The nitziv says, really, the pshat is kum v'asay is docha shev al tase, which is a big discussion, almost in the light, but he says that's the gather. So here we have ona is a kum v'asay, and prisha is a shev al tase, and therefore, kum v'asay is docha shev al tase. Okay, so that's the various explanations for the first interpretation of the Gemara, that ufakadeta means, sorry, that lifkodes ishto means tashmish. Rabbein utam says that, no, it doesn't mean tashmish, it means, like we said, divrei ritzoi. What exactly is included in divrei ritzoi? Not so clear, but you get the impression from both the Rama and the Shach that it includes chibuk v'nishuk, because that's where they're saying that this, if you assume chibuk v'nishuk is normally aser, this would be either mutter or chiyuv. Rabbeinu Tam himself just says vidaber aliba, which isn't necessarily chibuk v'nishuk. I guess that could also be lashanaki. And so the impression you get is that they understood that Rabbeinu Tam was even matir chibuk v'nishuk, and that's why we saw that the Beis Yosef point out that even if you held normally chibuk v'nishuk is aser, samach la'onasa would be matir if you read the Gemara like Rabbeinu Tam. The Shach writes that even though earlier he paskined that machmir tavalav bracha for chibuk v'nishuk, but here you should be mekel because of the chiyuv of ona. Now, what's wrong with Rabbeinu Tam's pshat? In other words, we mentioned many rishonim assume we're talking about tashmish. So the Ritva writes about Rabbeinu Tam, v'lo nehira lan. Chada delishna delifkod es ishto lo mashmahachi. Lifkod es ishto sounds like tashmish. The ode became the tashmish aser. Lama la alba sheyetzahara. The whole thing is a funny thing. Like, we're going to tell him, you can't have tashmish, but you should have chibuk v'nishuk. So it's a funny type of pshara. Okay. Rabbeinu Tam wasn't bothered by either of those questions. There is a third beer in the Gemara. By the Yad Ramah, it's also quoted by the Ritva and Shavuos, as well as some other Rishonim. Whole different pshat. It's also a Darki Moshe brings it down. That what's lifka samach levesta? It means levesta shel tvila. In other words, chayv adam lifka desishto means tashmish. Samach levesta means samach levesta shel tvila. In other words, your mikvah night's coming up. Oh, wow, how could you go have tashmish before the mikvah? No, it means you have to wait, and you can't go on your trip since her lel tefillah is coming up. It's not right to pack out of town and leave her like that. No, wait and depart. Wait to depart until after she goes to the mikvah and thereby have tashmish with her. That's what he says it means. And according to that explanation, actually much easier to understand why there's a patur for this for dvar mitzvah, right, as the Gemara explains. Because since you're going for a dvar mitzvah, so well, it's a mitzvah, patur min a mitzvah, and we let you get away with it. According to other explanations, again, they say, okay, you know, you're so tarad b'tir de mitzvah, you're not going to. But here for the Rama, it's very glat why we would say that mitzvah is an exception. Al kolpanim, there's actually another possibility. If you look at the Tarsa Shlamim, he suggests over here, he says, you know what, maybe the reason why the Rambam left this out is because of another halacha in the Rambam. The Mefarshim bring up this issue. The Rambam in Hilchos Deos does talk about this. Perek Dalet Halacha Yotes. The only problem is that he says the exact opposite of what we would expect. There he writes, Lo Yivol Biyom Yitzia L'Darech. There it's the context of doing things that are unhealthy or dangerous or things like that. You know, it's not healthy to have Tanshan Amita right before you're going to leave on a big trip. Now, this is fair because it's against the Gemara. Right, forget the fact, it's bad enough the Rambam left it out, but to paskin opposite of the Gemara? So the Taz already raises this issue. And Taz says it's actually not just an issue in the Rambam, there's a steer in the Shulchan Aruch. Because in our Chaim, it's in Reish Mem, which where the Shulchan Aruch talks about Hilchos Derech Eretz, he paskins like this Rambam. And over here, he's paskining, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, like Rashi, they should have Tashmish Amita before you go off to the Derech. So the Taz says, you know what, look in the Tshuvas HaRama, Simon Kuf Lamed Beis. What does he say over there? He says that maybe it's only on the day that you're leaving and not the night before. In other words, typically, when do people leave on a trip? They don't live at night. They leave during the day. So, and when are they going to have Tashmish then? When is this din going to be relevant? The night before he leaves. So there's no stira between in Shulchan Aruch, there's no stira in the Rambam against the Halacha. The Gemara here is saying that the night before you leave on the trip, you should be with your wife. And the Rambam is saying, Alt's health advice, the day that you're leaving on that trip, you shouldn't have Tashmish Amita. So that's what the Rambam writes. The Taz in Or Chaim writes that it depends on what type of trip it is and how strenuous the journey is. The Rambam Hilchos Deos was concerned about a strenuous journey. So if you're walking, then that's when the Rambam Hilchos Deos applies. But if you're going in a wagon or something like that, you're driving, you're flying, so then the Rambam Hilchos Deos doesn't apply, and that's what the Gemara, when the Gemara is relevant. The Rama in the Tshuva has another answer. He writes that maybe the pshat is the Rambam paskens like Rabbeinu Tam, and there's no sakana for pius. So therefore, that's okay. There's no stira. And the truth is that that might be the easiest way to explain why the Rambam omitted the din entirely. You see, if you learn like Rabbeinu Tam, so there is no, we're not being matir anything. And if we learn like Rabbeinu, if we learn that there's generally no issur chibuk v'neishuk, we're not even muttering anything anyway. So, okay, yeah, the Rambam might, you know, we might have hoped the Rambam would say this, but ba'atam, it's part of Ona. And therefore, the fact that if you learn like Rabbeinu Tam, the fact that the Rambam left this out, you know, we don't quote every piece of Shalom Bayis advice in Chas, in the Rambam. The Rambam does have some, doesn't have others. There are lots and lots of etzos in the Gemara. And especially if the Rambam understood, learned the Gemara like Rabbeinu Tam, he wasn't saying this is like a formal chiyuv ona like we saw in some of the other sources, but it's saying, so, you know, that it's, this is a, you know, good time to be together. So that's b'chlal, the regular halach of ona, that bizman she'ishto mishtokak, ishto mishtokak, so that's when you should have tashmish, that's the chiyuv of ona. And this is just an example of that, and maybe that's why the Rambam left it out. That's really where what Rabbeinu Tam suggests. And the truth is that, you know, there are a lot of dinim that we learn out from that pasuk that the Rambam leaves out. The Gemara says in Hacholet, Slamatan or Beis, that Messian Samach Lapirkan, Alava Kasim Omer, Viadata, Kishalim O Alacho Fakadatan, Abachab Laisachatan. There, like I said, there are lots of different things we learn out from that pasuk. So it's not so fair, maybe, that the Rambam left it out. Okay, we mentioned before that the Gemara says if she'er holich l'dvar mitzvah, then it doesn't apply. According to Rashi, it means because you're mitrid in your mitzvah, and therefore your pater, according to the Rama, it's even simpler. Basically, he writes that the Rashba didn't ring this halacha down because it's not shach tilchos nida, and therefore, if you're not chayev, then memela it is aser. The Mechaber paskins pashup chal like Rashi, that it's mutter to even have tashmish. The Rama also sounds like he's passing that way, Mikra did, but he writes that a machmer tov lo bracha, and therefore you should really follow Rabbeinu Tam, not have tashmish. And maybe we'd be a little more makel if it's a veshenu kavua, kol shekhen or zerua, where maybe we wouldn't say that. Now, the Rama does bring down also the Rama's opinion, as the Yeshomrim, and the Shach writes, even if it's Dvar Rishus, if it's Tzach Gadol, maybe in Tzach Lahamtin. There's an interesting Shaila, though I guess we're not going to talk about it now, what's considered a mitzvah trip, right? The Gemara seems to conclude that even Harvacha is considered a mitzvah, certainly for basic needs in terms of Parnasa. Now, there's a big problem over here, which we'll get to in a minute. If we have time, otherwise I guess we'll do it next time. But a big problem, which is this concept of Machmir Tavolav Bracha seems very schwer because, you know, as Rabbi Willard always says, but here it's quite blatant, a chumra in one realm is a kula in another. And especially if you're going to think that Mikra Din, we follow Rashi. So you're being Mevatel Mitzvah Zona. And we'll get back to that in a moment. Before we get there, just a basic question, which is what type of trip are we talking about? Talks about Yotzel Derech. What does Yotzel Derech mean exactly? How far? So the Tshuva Me'ava, and it's cited in the Pischei Tshuva, says, you know what? It's Yud Beis Mil. What's Yud Beis Mil? I assume that would be measured in terms of time, not in terms of distance, Bizman Azah, which would mean, I don't know, a trip of 3 hours, 3.5 hours, something like that. The time it takes to, how long would it take to walk 12 kilometers? That's how long it would take, you know, driving. That's what it would be, or flying, or whatever it is. Now, what's very interesting about that shear, though, is it's not the shear of a bittul ona, right? I mean, he might return the next day. All right, in other words, let's think about this for a moment. Lachora, like we said, the mitzvah here is ona. How much does he have to have ona? Once a week, twice a week, whatever it is. Bishlama, this din, the guy was going out for a business trip for a month, so okay, it's bittul ona. But why is it that such a short trip, 12 mil? So why should there even be a chiyuv? The answer is, as we said before, that there's hishtaikikus when you're yotzei l'darach, even if you're going away just for 2 days. You're leaving today, you're going to come back tomorrow. So you're not being mevatel ona in terms of timing, but you are being mevatel ona because when you go on a trip, that's like a big deal. And there's a separation and there's a parting. And that creates a chi of ona. There's much more to ona than just the amount of times per week specified in Chazal that are going to depend on your profession. And as we'll see in a moment, actually, Rav Moshe writes, that's the Iker Ona. The Shiurim like that, those are the Rabbanan. The Iker Ona is like that. It's interesting, Shiloh, what would be if you're going, I'll leave that for a side. Now, if you actually take a look at the Tshuva Me'ava, he discusses that point. He gets into the Ramah and Nachos Deos and the like. Fine. If you take a look at the Hagos Yaivitz on the Gemara Nivam Salas Beis Mabes, he writes, you know what the shear is? That you're leaving a shear ona. That's what it is, however long it is. Now I mentioned, and other poskim say this way, the Shevet Alevi says this way, but not like the lope, not like the Tshuva Me'ava, and you might even say the Tshuva Me'ava is a little dochak. If that was the shear, you know, somebody should have said that. So again, we'll get back to the question of the Gadir of Ona, but I want to just now go back to that question we raised before, which is, so how could we say, how could the Ramah write, how could the Poskim write, Machmir Tavolav Bracha? So it comes from the Smag. The Smag says, even though we pass him like Rashmi, Mashi HaMachmir, like Rabbeinu Tam Tavolav Bracha. So how could that be? How could that be considered a Chumra? Really, it's a Kula. And you could even ask, if you want to write it more precisely, the Ramah writes, HaMachmir Tavolav Bracha. If it would have said, HaMachmir Tavo Alecha Bracha, fine. She wants to be Machmir and be Moichel on the Ona, good. But how could he do it? So, you know, we talked about this a little before, I think. We talked, the Chsam Sofer and Kuf Peches, it's quoted in this Pischei Tshuva Sifkat and Beis, that there's no Shibud, you know, for Midas Chassidus and the like, but still, that's not at all Pashit, it's Shver. I'll just read you one Lashon to strengthen the question. This is a Lashon from a letter from the Stipler. It's quoted in Orchos Rabbeinu, page 29. It's a famous letter. A lot of times a Chassan teacher will read this letter to their Chassan to appreciate this. So this is the Lashon of the Stipler. Ha'ona hi mitzvas asei de'oraisa kachilas matza v'amivatla bizman ibura, meaning to say, when she can't become pregnant anyway, so he's mevatel ona. Hu chote gamor. Ve'ein misa v'yom ha-kippurim mechaprim. Ve'ein adam l'chaveiro. And so this is a very important thing. And he writes, even though it says Talmud Chacham is once a week, Pamachas B'Shabbos, but nowadays, Bismanenu, we don't have people that are called Talmud Chacham. This shaila of, what's considered Talmud Chacham or not, various areas of halacha comes up. But in many places in halacha, and the stipler says here as well, and I think with Moshe also, we don't say somebody's a Talmud Chacham. So one has to be very careful about just saying Amachmir Tavlov Bracha in general about this and for things like this. And the Torah Sashlomim over here, Sivkatan Yotes, asked this kash, Eich Shayach Lomar Amachmir Tavlov Bracha, Hov Amar Chayv Levko Nesishto, Adarabba Zekari Chomer, Misha Medaktik Lakaima Mitzvah, Kehochasa Shlema. So what does the Torah Sashlomim say? He says, it means Amachmir not to go on your trip. That's Tavlov Bracha. That we could hear. I guess we have to stop here. So Bez Hashem, we'll pick up a little bit about this next time. We'll talk a little bit about the Geder of Ona, though not too much. It's not our sugya. Talk about going on a trip on the mikvah night. And then we'll talk about, hopefully we'll, assume next time, Monday, that is, we will Bez Hashem finish Kuf Pei Dalet, and then we'll move on to Kuf Pei Tes. I assume everybody already started Kuf Pei Tes, right? Okay, good. Nachum also told me he started.